This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Reckless speculation.
And a happy Reckless Speculation Thursday to all who celebrate 1 week until the National Football League draft. We got our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson here from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. We got Judd gracious enough to come in studio today with Doogie. You guys are in the old AM 1500 ESPN studios today.
Xfinity, damn you. You owe me an endorsement for this.
I'm in the presence of greatness. Although Judd is completely flustered. Like, I can tell. Well, like, he had no intention of being here in the Hubbard building this morning. He just seems like he's just completely disheveled.
I'm disheveled for sure. I'm mildly pissed off, but I'm at an age where I realize it's no one's fault. So, like, it's
Your internet at home took a dump.
Yeah.
And you sped in here. You probably broke some laws on 94 to get into the old studio.
Most definitely. I got behind one guy who was swerving so erratically that I think he might have been coming home from a late night at the bar. But, you know, was it
the Texas defensive lineman?
20 years ago, I'd be, like, pissed West off Phillips. Right now. But I'm 54, and so I'm like, there's nothing that can be done about this. It's just, you know, the gremlins. But, disheveled is a perfect word. I'm very disheveled.
So, well, let's get into some Viking stuff here. We got about a half hour with Doogie, and let's just start with the Patriots general manager's press conference from about an hour ago on this Thursday morning. Elliot Wolf went up there a week before the draft, and he's answering questions from the Patriots media. And one of his quotes when asked about the number 3 pick was, it's a direct quote, "We are open for business to trade the number 3 overall pick." What do you guys think? Do you think this is just Elliot Wolf putting out little smoke screens, looking for a Godfather offer? Do you think the Patriots intend to trade the number 3 pick? Open for business.
This is the son of Ron Wolf, okay? And so there's no question, you know, dad's going to play. Like Ron Wolf had lots of drafts, lots of good drafts. If I was to guess, I think this is sincere, you guys. I think this is sincere because Elliot Wolf has been around this game for a long time. He's still a young man, but he's been around this game his entire life. And we have talked about this, and I'm sincere, and I tweeted again last night. I don't think the Patriots have any business trying to put a penthouse on a building that has no foundation. And so I think that anybody who knows football and is smart about it, and I would imagine Elliot Wolf is going to know, let's see, could I accrue a bunch of draft picks in which to build a team out? Or am I going to do the same stupid thing the Panthers just did with Bryce Young, which is force a Drake May, who might not, you know, the more you see from experts, Dukes, there's more and more steam about he probably shouldn't play for a while, which is, again, not an indictment. I think the Patriots are, if they're smart, now they might ask for too much, but I think if they're smart, Elliot Wolf is 100% serious, and I think they would be wise to accrue picks and build a foundation before putting the cherry on top.
I agree with you. I mean, logically speaking, like, was he going to go up to the podium today? By the way, I appreciate the fact that he did it today compared to 2 weeks out, like Kwesi, like some other GMs. Thank you for, you know, doing this a little bit closer to actual draft weekend. So thank you, Elliot Wolf. But like, what was he going to say otherwise? Like, was he going to say, no way? Like, I know we're sticking at 3. Like, why would you show your hand in that capacity, right? Like, you don't know what offer may come in tonight, tomorrow, over the weekend, early next week. Like, of course, open for business. Because of everything you just laid out, too, he realizes how much help that roster needs. They're not just a quarterback away. So let's make the logical leap that somewhere along the way, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the Vikings front office, has connected with Elliot Wolf, the Patriots front office. Now, I told you many, many weeks ago, I threw it out there. I said, hey, I was told the dialogue began in Mobile at the Senior Bowl in January. Well, guess what? a bunch of people I tried to confirm that with immediately got back to me. And so it actually worked out brilliantly in many ways where I was told no. But since that time, whether at the combine, after the combine, maybe connecting at a pro day along the way, you know, owners meetings, you know, many different possibilities. Let's make that logical leap that the Vikings minimum have had dialogue with the New England Patriots. Not suggesting anything is on the cusp of happening, but certainly the Vikings in a quest to see if they can move up. What's the price to move up? They've spoken with LA at 5, Arizona at 4, certainly New England at 3.
What about this Jaden Daniels situation? So his agent was active on Twitter yesterday, and the Commanders brought in as part of their top 30. They brought in a bunch of players and four of the top quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy, to see, I don't know, how they interact with each other. And Mike Florio went on a rant. It went around social media. Jaden Daniels' agent retweeted it with the, like, puzzled face emoji, agreeing with Mike Florio's take that if you're the Commanders, why would you bring all these guys in together? It seems like weird process. And then Jaden Daniels' agent also liked two tweets criticizing the Commanders for their process here. Is this a sign of the Jaden Daniels camp being unhappy with the Commanders and maybe pulling like a diet Eli Manning here? Ooh. Or is it just an agent getting Twitter fingers a week before the draft?
Judd?
Boy, I mean, this one is difficult. I saw this, okay? And it was intriguing because, by the way, the Commanders have the ability to do this. So their motivation might actually be fairly smart. Like, I would like to see these guys in a room. How do they act? What's the process? Who's the alpha? Who's the beta? I don't necessarily blame them, but Phil, what you just said about the diet Eli Manning is an interesting one.
Because it's like passive aggressive Eli Manning.
We've discussed this, but I mean, Deuce, can you think of a better place to go than here? Like, Washington and Dan Quinn had success with Matt Ryan in Atlanta, but Washington just hired a defensive guy. The Patriots are a hot mess, and they are coached by a defensive guy. The Chargers are different because of Jim Harbaugh, but my point is this. If I'm Jaden Daniels, if I'm Drake May, I want to be in one place, Minnesota. So, like, I do think that there is, and I know Vikings fans, this is going to sound weird because they usually, the prom queen does not ordinarily pick us. But this is a situation where I think that there's a case to be made that these kids are like, well, hold on a second here. If the Vikings are trying to trade up, I want them to trade up for me. So I think that there definitely could be a Vikings connection here with guys like Daniels and May, who would much prefer to play for Kevin O'Connell.
I know the agent Ron Butler enough. I don't think he's like anti-Jaden, his client, landing in Washington. But like, okay, if you want to throw this under the reckless speculation umbrella here on a Thursday, fine. But I feel pretty confident in saying, and I've alluded to this a number of times going back many weeks, Jaden Daniels' number one choice is to be a Viking. The infrastructure here, it just speaks to a quarterback. If you're going to have success, your best chance at success is what's in place here with Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown, Justin Jefferson. Don't buy any chatter of the Vikings trading Justin Jefferson. The number one goal continues to be to sign him to a lucrative contract extension. So Jefferson, Addison, we can go up and down the list, right? Stability, really good stability at both tackle spots. I'm just telling you, like, I know this, right? So if you want to call it reckless speculation, fine, but I'm just telling you, I know this too. Jaden Daniels would love to be a Viking. He will enjoy thoroughly the gathering tonight. Now, the Vikings are flying down to Baton Rouge. We noted that last Thursday, that this was the day. This Thursday was the day for the Vikings to connect with Jaden Daniels. I'm trying to get clarity, but it doesn't sound like it'll be an on-the-field workout. It'll be some whiteboard-type stuff, meeting-type stuff, then a dinner. But nonetheless, like, by late tonight, the Vikings are absolutely going to have the book on all these guys.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And now, obviously, I'm just looking at the signing bonus slots for this year's draft. While all of these quarterbacks, rightfully so, are probably looking at the Vikings and saying, boy, that's a pretty nice little car there. I get to throw it to Jefferson and Addison, and Kevin O'Connell's been great throughout the process. But you want the transaction to happen second or third overall instead of 11th. Like, you don't want to tumble down the board to 11th where there's, by the way, a $16 million difference between the second pick and the 11th pick in total contract value, and a $12 million difference in the signing bonus. So I do wonder behind the scenes if Jaden Daniels' agent and what he was putting out on Twitter yesterday, if that's an indication that him and his client would rather not go to Washington and it's just kind of bubbling over and Twitter fingers took over. Are they that, like, how does that work? Are they telling Washington, hey, my client does not want to play for you?
I don't think that has happened. I really don't.
Okay.
If he ends up going two to Washington, big smiley face.
They'd be okay.
I think they'd be okay. I'm just saying, okay. Like, you know, perfect world, right? Like choice one, okay, Minnesota. But if the pick is Washington, number two, Jaden Daniels, I'm telling you, like, I don't think we're going to hear chatter of, oh, wow, like, this is a crap situation. I think Jaden will happily welcome being a Commander.
Okay.
The Patriots might be different. The Patriots might be, oh, wow, this is a crap situation. But you know what, too, is if you look at this, starting with Washington, the Patriots, you also have quarterbacks not only being put into potential situations, Doogie, with head coaches who are defensive guys, but you also have at least two franchises that are starting over as far as their personnel people go. I just come back to this. The Vikings infrastructure, and this is a credit, is so good right now. Like if you look at every metric, right? Players vote in their poll. They love the facility. It's gorgeous. They've got essentially an indoor/dome type stadium here. So eight games or nine games a year are played in a controlled environment. Now, you, of course, have to live in a state that's cold, but you're so rich you don't care. So my point is I just look at these situations, and even the Chargers, who, you know, are in a good predicament, a team like that, and of course they've got Herbert, even the Chargers, you know, there's unknowns there. They're certainly not the most popular team in town. There's just so much that snowballs to, of the teams that need a quarterback, the Vikings are absolutely the perfect place. Now, the Bears are going to be fine, but organizationally, I can't think of a better infrastructure right now, a better system, a better place to be if you are a young player than here.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
All right, getting clarity, by the way, in the moment, so this is nice. Just a meeting tonight with Jaden Daniels, so nothing on the field, for whatever okay. That's worth. You know, the Vikings have been able to put some of these other guys through an on-the-field workout tonight, today, in Baton Rouge, just a meeting/dinner.
Do you think Jaden Daniels, like, in his camp are the ones that are organizing the location of that meal in Baton Rouge? Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, the good cuisine in Baton. Like, who is the one that's saying, like, no, we're going to eat here? Is it the Vikings brass saying, we need a steakhouse? But is it Jaden Daniels, his camp, be like, no, you're in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We're telling you where to eat. Those are the questions I want.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you defer to the guy that's lived in Baton Rouge for multiple years?
This is part of the chess, dude. You ask him and see, because I think whatever his answer is and however... Is he capable of organizing a dinner for some front office people? And if he doesn't know which restaurant, if he doesn't know, like, to me, that's a tell. He's a bad leader. Can't bring people together.
Now, if he pulls out the New Orleans card and says, Baton Rouge, we are going to go into town. We're going to go into the big city here. That's impressive.
It's not like that. Big city is like 20 minutes down the road.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, well, how far?
I'm not suggesting it's 3 hours away, yeah, but it's not like Baton Rouge and New Orleans are right next to each other.
Yeah, it's close enough. It's close enough. You know what? He's going to have a helicopter.
That would be next level.
An hour and 20-minute drive away.
Yeah, I don't think they're... Hey, guys, hop in. We're gonna drive an hour and a half.
Hour 20. You don't know.
Doogie, you had a chance. I saw a clip of this posted on your Twitter account yesterday. You sat down for 5 Eyewitness News with former NFL general manager, personnel guy, Randy Mueller. So Randy Mueller was the Saints general manager in the early 2000s. He was the Dolphins general manager. He's also been the general manager for the Salt Lake Stallions, and he's done some XFL stuff too. So this, I mean, he's literally been top of front offices for like 40 years. What did he have to say about some of these quarterbacks? So it's just one person's opinion, but it's interesting to get just more information on what smart football people think about this quarterback class.
Exactly. I mean, that's where I fall, right? So like I look forward to Monday connecting with Dan Orlovsky. You know, unfortunately, I've swung and missed on trying to connect with Chase Daniel, but I like picking the brains of those who have been in the belly of the beast who do this. Rick Spielman, another person who I texted, right? A lot of people would be like, what? Like, did you see the Christian Ponder pick? Like, why would you pick the brain of Rick Spielman? Yeah. Well, because he's done it, right? And he's been to some of these pro days and he's talking to a lot of people. So Rick, unfortunately, hasn't gotten back to me, but I try to seek the opinion of many, many people. So yeah, Randy, one of those people. He also ran the Seahawks front office late 80s into the early 90s, or maybe early 90s. He selected Walter Jones, future Hall of Famer. He didn't have the title of GM, whatever the title was, but
the entire
he had final
90s.
Say. Yeah, he had final say in the front office. So he's had final say in the front office of Seattle, Miami, and New Orleans. So to me, like, he's got knowledge that a lot of other people, insight that a lot of other people just don't have. His opinion, you're right, one person's opinion, because I don't necessarily agree with the opinion, right? Me, more novice football guy, him, expert football guy, but he's not big on Drake May. So we've heard from Merrill Hodge, we've heard some others, and now Randy Mueller. You know, he doesn't see, in his words, the bazooka arm, like we've heard about Drake having this bazooka arm. He watches the film, he doesn't necessarily see it. You know, some footwork, accuracy type issues. You know, he wonders why Drake took a little bit of a back seat in 2023 compared to how good he was in 2022. Like, there was some legitimate buzz this time last year that, hey, forget Caleb Williams. Like, Drake May, coming off that 22 season, Drake May is going to be QB1. And it's not like he had a bad year. Heck, you know, here in Gopher country, we remember that game in September, how wonderful he was against the Gophers, right? So Drake May had a number of wonderful moments, but you go back and watch the Clemson game, the North Carolina State game, just enough question marks where Randy, you might be able to convince Randy, okay, if Drake somehow fell to 11, but he's just not big on giving up all this draft capital to move up for Drake May.
So interesting, and just in the exercise like you're doing of just consuming smarter people than me who watch film, there's a podcast. I don't know if you guys are into the YouTube film breakdown world, but Brett Coleman has a channel that is 400,000, and I think he does some work for the Chargers now too. And JT O'Sullivan, former Vikings camp quarterback, has one of the top quarterback film YouTube channels, the QB School.
Another guy I reached out to, he hasn't gotten back to me, but that's
He's probably pretty busy this time of year, but he yeah, he's. Yeah. By the way, if you need, you got an email address? He's responded to me on a couple things. Okay,
and I've connected with him before. Just in this moment, he didn't get back.
Okay,
to me.
So let me know. But he, so they went, got together and did like an hour and a half podcast breaking down all of these quarterbacks. And I'm not through the whole thing yet, but just some high level notes of probably the two most noteworthy film breakdown guys, or two of the most noteworthy on YouTube. They both love J.J. McCarthy, but they're both very leery of the small sample size, that like you have to go through every single game to even find like three deep passes outside the numbers, or like there's not enough sample size. So they're one, like everything he's doing is very NFL ready on film, but you can pick any backup quarterback in the league who does some NFL ready things. Like Nick Mullins threw for 400 yards in a game. But if you increase the sample size and you ask him to do it every single game, 30 throws, fourth quarter close games, right? What does it look like? And the answer is nobody's going to know until you draft him and put him in the fire. So they love it. On Drake May, they both kind of agree, especially JT O'Sullivan. He said, you can watch Drake May film and come away with some of the most ridiculous throws, like some of the most absurd talent. But then like three times in a game, he'll just inexplicably dirt a pass on a hitch route that should just be a basic throw for a quarterback on Sunday. Like, and so JT O'Sullivan kept going back to why is he just missing these easy throws that you should just be able to just in your sleep with your eyes closed, be able to make in the NFL. And Jaden Daniels, the biggest concern was like Lamar Jackson is slithery and doesn't take big hits. Jaden Daniels, like the Roadrunner, will just like, or like the, you know, Wile E. Coyote will just like, boom, an anvil will drop on his head when he's running around the field. He'll just run into like a 250-pound defensive player. So, I don't know. It's just
sacked a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like, based on the pressure, like Jaden sacked a lot. So maybe it's just, you know, the way he's processing things, the decision making, but I have heard that red flag. But like if you're Kevin O'Connell, okay, you know, you can nitpick all these guys, right? Like, which one do you look at and say more than the others? Okay, like that is incredibly fixable. Like, right. I know if I get him here with my tutelage, with McCown's, like no doubt in my mind, I can fix that. On McCarthy, do we know, like how many times did Jim Harbaugh ask him to attempt 30 passes or more in a game?
I'm
not saying it's
log,
a knock. Like they were winning games, so that was a formula.
But he didn't have to.
He wasn't asked to do.
Yeah,
that what maybe a handful of times. I mean, not many. So that is the question. That okay, come Sunday,
right?
Okay, right. Like you get down 10-0, all of a sudden you're attempting 37 passes. You know what does that look like for JJ McCarthy? I get it.
On McCarthy too, there was a breakdown I saw that was fairly intriguing about that very thing, and they actually aborted the passes not because of the quarterback, but because the offensive line was getting its ass kicked on the edges, and so Harbaugh said, "We're not going to throw. We'll just run," because they were going up the A gap pretty effectively. So they quit trying to pass, but it wasn't something that McCarthy had done wrong. Orlovsky on X, and I think I sent this to Phil, had a great, very brief, but great breakdown on May, to your point. And his breakdown was he was dirting passes because his footwork was horrendous. But his full point, Orlovsky's point, was that can be fixed, but it's going to take some time. That's the thing is, I think we need to be prepared if the Vikings do draft Drake May for him not to start for a while. And it's not going to mean he's a bust. There's a lot to fix. And I'll always go back to, and there's a lot of examples, but Tebow is the poster child. Obviously, he didn't work. But you can't fix a guy and then instantly play him. Like, you have to coach things out of guys at times, and that takes time. The problem with Tebow was they would consistently shorten up his passing, but then they'd throw him into play. And, of course, when there's pressure, you go back to what you know. So I think that Drake May very well, if the Vikings do take him, might be a project that we need to be prepared to sit and not immediately declare. Clearly that pick was a bad pick, which is what the tendency of people like us and fans is to say, well, clearly it didn't work, because there's no question. You know what? Bryce Young would have benefited by not playing. They hurt him by playing him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they had a pretty good backup, capable backup in Dalton, right? So
I know.
You know, what was the decision-making there that McCown was part of, by the way, that you threw Bryce in there?
Was he?
I think it was ownership-driven. That guy's a
which
maniac.
I don't doubt. Correct. Yeah. Yes. All right, well, let's push this thing out. Drake May landing here? Like, very, very logical, right? Like,
yeah.
Whether you want to connect the McCown dots, you know, all the pre-draft work the Vikings have done on Drake. If Jaden goes 2, so then the Vikings move up. Like, you move up to 3. I mean, to me, what I'm trying to figure out, and hey, nobody in my shoes, you know, heck, especially this time of the draft calendar, like, you know, lying is happening left and right. So, like, I don't know who the Vikings have ranked ahead of the other, but at some point, I'd love to find out, do they prefer Drake May or JJ McCarthy? If it comes down to that, if Daniels is off the board, we'll get the answer. If they can get up to 3, or maybe it's 4, right? But if it's 4, you know, then we have quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, so we'll never get that answer. But I'd love to know the answer. Who do they prefer, May or McCarthy? Because if you look at what Kevin O'Connell favors from a trait perspective, Judd, would you agree that of the two, it seems like McCarthy fits what O'Connell is looking for a bit more right now than Drake May?
It does right now. But my question with Drake May is this. How much do they watch him and say, we can fix so much?
I think they do.
His ceiling, like, I think McCarthy has a ceiling that is lower than May's. But if May gets put in the wrong place, which wouldn't be here, but let's say the Patriots, I think he could be a spectacular flop because he doesn't get the coaching. And again, that's where I come back to more and more. I mean, there's a very good chance, and we might laugh, but that Sam Darnold was signed for a reason.
Oh, they like him.
And that's going to play a lot.
And I get it's a 1-year deal, all that. But yes, like Sam Darnold is starting week 1. Heck, I wouldn't be shocked if Sam Darnold is starting week 11. I really wouldn't.
Correct.
Yeah. Hey, before we do some rapid fire scoops here and go through the rest of Doogie's scoop bag, a shout out to our friends at Finch Home Solutions. Those beautiful vans driving around, helping you fix things in your home.
That's exactly right. Finch Home Solutions, and in particular, my friend Cody, who runs the place. He has two passions. One is the purple. That's right. I'm sure he is watching this show right now. And the other is making sure that your home is safe. All of the electrical needs that you have, guess what? Big or small, Finch can handle them. They came to my house at one point, and I'm going to tell you right now, fast, efficient, courteous. They fixed a light in my basement that didn't work. It was such a pain, and guess what? Bang, bingo, bongo, it was fixed. They fixed, they actually installed a couple of outlets, taking them from the old school two-prongers to the three-prongers. Oh, wow. They could take care of anything that you need, upgrades the current system, storm damage, which, of course, is unfortunately coming with summer, flickering lights, all of it. Finch will fix it, and they'll do it with a smile. Look at all those vans right there. Look at that team. No better
offensive
line.
Flying V. It's a flying V.
It's a flying V. That's exactly right. It's a 612-357-2604, FinchHomeSolutions.com. Finch Home Solutions.
Can they fix your internet?
I think that's an Xfinity problem. Xfinity,
it might be worth it though. I mean, Finch can solve so much.
Well, they could fix
it. Worth at least asking.
Wrong with that? Oh, you know what? Cody is a master at that. He is a star quarterback when it comes to electrical repairs.
And quick, a thank you to Dennis Kirk for jumping back on board here for the summer months across the Score North podcast. DennisKirk.com. It's writing season. You can check out over 185,000 parts, apparel, accessories. For motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, dirt bikes, snowmobiles, and more, all of the top brands. Same-day shipping on orders placed by 8 p.m. Central Time, and also free shipping on orders over $89. They also offer financing as low as 0% up to 12 months. So check them out, DennisKirk.com. That's DennisKirk.com. Okay, a couple minutes left here, Dukes. What's left in your scoop bag?
All right, there's a Twitter... dare I even say report, something alluding to Dalton Risner on the cusp or on the verge of re-signing with the Vikings. Texted with a couple people this morning. No, that's not correct. Not suggesting that maybe down the road, you know, maybe something, you know, progress-wise takes place with the new representation, Drew Rosenhaus. But in this moment, what you're seeing out there on,
platform? It's Antonio Brown's media account. The former wide receiver who's crazy. And he started a network on Twitter called CTESPN. CTESPN network. And
well, here's what's interesting.
He's the one that's reporting this.
Antonio knows Rosenhaus very, 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 very well. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't know this, Phil. So that's interesting. All right.
Okay. But you said Risner.
Well, Judd. You don't need to say the exact name, but here you go.
Yeah, no, it's not. I can confirm. I can confirm nothing going down right now.
Yeah. And so, again, like Dalton wants to be back here. Like maybe at some point the two sides
can make that
happen. I certainly wouldn't mind if he's back, but just in this moment. So, okay, it's Antonio Brown's Twitter. That's fantastic.
That is interesting,
though. And I'm telling you, he knows the agent really, really well. But I'm just telling you, the feedback I'm getting this morning... and I don't think there's any reason for these people to be lying to me. Yeah. Nothing is on the cusp of happening on that front. Shifting to Saturday, Wolves Suns, Mark Laurie will be in attendance. I'm waiting to hear if Alex Rodriguez also will be in attendance. Picked the brain of Sam Mitchell yesterday, wishing him all the best, although he's doing well. But partial knee replacement surgery on Monday, he is not in that doom and gloom category. So many Wolves fans feel like, hey, Suns in four or Suns in five. Like Sam thinks absolutely the series goes minimum six, perhaps seven games. He also thinks, hey, the Wolves can win this series and then match up against the Denver Nuggets in the second round. And he feels like of all the teams in the Western Conference, the Wolves can give Denver the best series. So Sam Mitchell, big on the Wolves in this first series. Not necessarily saying, yes, they are going to win. Some adjustments clearly need to take place. Yeah. Yes, Phoenix creates a lot of nightmare tight matchups. We get what took place in the regular season, all that, right? But Sam thinks this is going to be a very competitive series. He doesn't fall in the boat of so many people thinking Suns in four or Suns in five.
All right. Great stuff here, Dukes. Thanks for coming in.
Couple more. New Gophers big man Frank Mitchell, the transfer from Canisius, connected with him last night. He told me it was toughest to tell Missouri and TCU know, averaged a double-double last year. First year, Division One, had a really good game against Syracuse last year, really good game against Pittsburgh. So I would not be shocked if he comes in here with these 2 years of eligibility remaining and he ends up being a starter, perhaps replacing Pharrell Payne. If Dawson Garcia is the four, Frank Mitchell can be the five, 6'8", 6'9", but physical guy, only started playing basketball competitively 4 years ago, grew up in Canada, played hockey. So he's got a toughness about him. So good get for Ben Johnson and company. Speaking of Pharrell Payne, upcoming visits to Texas A&M, Oregon, and Texas has already completed a visit to Indiana. Yes, Judd, he is going to get paid six figures. Jackson Howard, Robbinsdale Cooper alum. He's in the transfer portal, pass rusher after a run at LSU. The Gophers officially offered him. I mentioned on Tuesday the Gophers were pushing hard. Well, as of Tuesday night, the Gophers officially offered Jackson Howard. I promise you, behind the scenes, there's a lot of work going on to try to secure the services of Willie Howard's son, Jackson Howard.
Yeah. There he is, beautiful. Folks. Darren Doogie Wolfson, 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. We'll do it again next week. Big week.
Sounds
next
good, boys.
Week, boys.
Can't wait. Big week. Next week will be as good as it gets. Love it. Yeah. See you, boys. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, Dukes. That's a wrap here on this Reckless Speculation Thursday Scoop Session, Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd.